Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the changing, evolving world that we are living in and how kind of old forms of being aren't working the same way, that we need new models. And today and tonight and the next couple of weeks starts my series. I'm working with the members of the Association for Spirituality and Psychotherapy. That's the ASP organization. And that's an organization committed to combining the best of therapy with the new emerging fields of spirituality. So I'm very happy that to announce my first guest is Marsha Blau, who does holistic psychotherapy. So welcome, Marsha.
Thank you.
You know, just a little bit about ASP, the Association for Spirituality Psychotherapy. I mean, I'm just curious why you're a member of that organization and why that's important to you.
I actually was delighted when I heard about the organization because being a psychotherapist can often be very isolating. I'm in an office all day working with people individually. It can be very isolating. So when I heard there was an organization that also worked on the level of bringing spirituality together with psychotherapy, it was very exciting to me that I would have other people to talk to who might work in a similar fashion.
And they have, right? I mean, it's been good for you, hasn't it?
I'm learning a lot. Yes, I'm learning a lot, and I'm connecting with people.
Because in a way, people go to school for psychotherapy. I'm just thinking, but a lot of people find spirituality on their own through their own individual paths.
As a matter of fact, on one of my resumes, I have a section that I call holistic studies because there was never a school that I went to where I learned holistic psychotherapy. I don't even think there is such a thing. I just used that as my way to explain what I do because it seems to fit the best. But I've taken classes with everyone from Pema Chodron through John Perkins and all kinds of people, and their influence has certainly gotten into my therapy, but there wasn't one path that I took that changed my work to become holistic. It was from years and years of spiritual studies and working with people.
Right, and you did those spiritual studies first for your own interests.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that's also what makes it a little different than just regular psychotherapy where, you know, people learn psychotherapy. They may be interested in it, but they're trying to learn something to help others. And in a kind of spiritual approach, you're finding things to help yourself first, and then if you can integrate that into your practice, I think it goes deeper somehow because we've learned it with ourselves.
Well, in my case, it came from having a son who was ill. My son was born with a disorder, and when the medical profession really couldn't give him help that he needed at one point, I sought out healers. And in seeking out healers, it began a whole spiritual journey for myself and my sons that did lead to his healing, but also absolutely changed my life and my work.
But it was one piece
and one teacher at a time. I'm sorry.
What was his condition? If you want to say, you know.
Sure. He was born with It sounds horrible. He's born with something called tuberous sclerosis, which tubers are benign tumors, and he had an entire chamber of his heart filled at birth with a tumor. But the bigger threat was that they tend to make these children severely retarded, mentally retarded. So he's not mentally retarded. As a matter of fact, he's about to graduate college on the dean's list. But when he was around 9 or 10, he had learning problems that were becoming more severe. And there was a whole cluster of nodules around his brain, which is typical of this disorder. And I worked with a healer who stopped them from growing.
Really? So and that really convinced you there's something to this energy?
Oh, absolutely. And through that discovered that I am a healer and have been helping people with energy healing. So there's no question in my mind that it's real. And we went back for an MRI years later, and this neurologist at Mount Sinai Hospital was, quote, baffled as to why these nodules on his brain never grew. What happened was, as his brain grew and the nodules stayed the same size, he became, like, smarter and smarter. His brain began to function better.
Wow, that is a great story. And so then how from that did you develop this thing called holistic psychotherapy? And tell us what it is that you've developed.
Sure. Well, what happened was my life became more spiritual, and it just got into my work more. I couldn't cover up my real beliefs that if I looked at a human being in their full capacity, their spiritual aspects came into it, and their holistic really is about seeing a person as a whole, seeing the mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional as a whole. So I would notice that when I began working in one area, the whole life would get better. And in a way, the way it affected me the most is that it made me extremely open-minded. So whatever was brought in, I could work with.
But you were educated pretty traditionally, weren't you, about the mind?
I went to social work school, and I did a couple of programs at psychoanalytic institutes. But I never, given who I am, I never was able to really be a conventional therapist. I always found myself more engaged and involved and listening at a level that really wasn't what I was taught. I think people who do therapy, you bring who you are to the therapy, and I came from an acting background, so for me to really submerge myself in the work was pretty natural. It was not so hard for me to go into someone else's world.
Mm-hmm. But what I find interesting about the organization and about your work is that psychotherapy, I mean, as it comes from Freud and all that, was so much just about the mind, and anyone who believed in energy or that kind of out there stuff was actually part of the problem, in a sense, not like, you know, offering solutions. You know what I mean? Those were the crazy people who believed in all that energy.
And okay, so my example of that would be if somebody came to see a conventional therapist and they said, I've been talking to my dead father.
Right.
The conventional therapist would write down unusual thinking patterns, you know.
Or
maybe,
hallucinations.
Maybe psychosis, that's right. Maybe psychosis.
Yes.
I would sit there and say, how are you channeling? What are you doing? I would want to know all of, what kind of messages are you getting? How are they affecting you? So I would be very open and listening to it and delighted to hear about it. But then again, I don't do traditional therapy, so I would never sit across a room and just have somebody free associate. And if someone gets stuck, I will take them through a meditation. I will do some energy healing. I'll do all kinds of work with them that a traditional therapist would not do.
Right, and I guess who are we to say whether that person's really talking to their dead father or not? I mean, we don't know. But, I mean, this is sort of where I'm getting at. We have to expand what we're, and you're doing it, of course, expanding what we're calling psychology or the mm-hmm. psyche or the mind. We have to redefine that in new ways.
Well, also, if someone comes in and does talk about has speaking to someone who's dead, I'm going to listen to it, and if the messages are, you know, go kill your dog, then I'm going to listen to that in a different way. I mean, Son of Sam heard messages too, and there are certain messages that clearly would be signals that the person is not coming from a particularly healthy place.
Right. I think that's a good point, because there are people, I know people who channel. I know very, very mm-hmm. functional people who channel. They hold down jobs. One guy's a college professor, you know, Paul Selig. Mm-hmm. I mean, he channels, he hears voices, they speak to him, he speaks out loud. They're very clear mm-hmm. and beautiful
Jody
messages.
Jody Sirota is another one who's just a beautiful channel.
Who is that?
Jody Sirota.
Oh, Jody, of course. Jody's a good friend of mine. And, mm-hmm. So, Yes, and they don't exhibit. I mean, but that's. I think this is what we're up against as we redefine psychotherapy and make it more holistic, of course. So, I mean, what are the ways do you work in your holistic psychotherapy practice?
Well, I start out with, I guess, what would be considered a relatively more traditional pattern, which is the first session is always about learning about someone's background. But then it's wherever somebody comes in a session, they could begin talking about anything, and I listen very carefully. And with the conversation goes to places usually that are uncomfortable, places where the person isn't feeling happy in their life and needs help in figuring out how to deal with it. That's basically the way therapy goes. How is it different? I really think it's about the way I listen. And about,
and you're working with energy too, right?
There are some people who come in and I do energy. There's one woman I do energy healing in every session. And there are some people who need it at on a given day and have something that they're not comfortable with. But that's where it's holistic, because a conventional psychotherapist would never think of dealing with physical elements like that, would never go near touching a patient. And the word would be patient, not client, with a conventional therapist. So a conventional therapist would sit across the room and never think of coming over and touching you. Now, I actually work about an inch above the body when I do energy work with auric energy. But it took an adjustment for me to learn how to come over and sit on the couch next to the person and work with them energetically. That was an adjustment after years of sitting across the room.
Uh-huh, because you just used to listen. And so how did you make that adjustment? What was like the first incident where you...
The first few times I was self-conscious, sure. It was different, but then now it's totally comfortable for me.
And it's comfortable with the client as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do you, this is your practice. This is what you're doing. Are you seeing this becoming more and more common in the mainstream?
Well, I think the world is becoming more open to this kind of thinking. I think more people in today's world are aware of life going on more planes and things being not just what we see in front of us. So as people are changing their thinking, I think it's coming into many fields, not just psychotherapy.
Right. I mean, it's very exciting times because it's as if we're right there at a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this new way of thinking, this new paradigm of possibilities needs to happen. I mean, what I like about the Association for Spiritualized Psychotherapy is that they are letting go of the old model of traditional psychotherapy, of mm-hmm. therapy of the mind itself. I mean, this is what you're doing, I guess, in the way is in holistic, you're including the mind is something much bigger than we thought it was.
Well, our existence is much more than what we can see. You know, I think a lot of this began years ago with the Seth books. I think that was where a lot of this thinking began. Certainly Jane Roberts was the first channeler to come out.
Yes.
And from the Seth books, I think Abraham Hicks took that material and made it everyday living material. They sort of taught you how to use a lot of the very complicated concepts that came out of those books.
Yeah, it's true. I love the Seth books, and they were a really great awakening for me.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant, right? And you couldn't look at life the same way. Once you'd read those books, you had to believe that even if you weren't in touch with it, at some level you create your own reality.
Is that it? I mean, when you say that, though, I don't want to be too personal, but how do you explain the situation with your son? I mean, in that
what
sense.
What do you mean, how to explain it?
Well, he had this illness.
Okay, so the woman who healed him is someone you know, is Star Fuentes.
Oh, Star, yes, she's amazing.
Okay, so one day, I took him to see her a few times, and one day she had her hand on his head, and she said, I want you to feel this. And I felt his head, and it was vibrating like a washing machine.
Wow.
And when she finished, she said, I have now deactivated the nodules on his brain. So how do I explain it? This is a woman who says that she learned she was a healer because she touched someone and a tumor appeared in her hand. Someone who doesn't believe that, that's a story that a lot of people would not believe.
Unless you've seen it yourself.
That's exactly it. You know, what you see, you believe in life. I've had experiences where things have happened that physically make no sense, but they definitely happened. I was there.
So I think what you're saying or what I'm getting is that we need a new psychology for a reality that is much more expanded than what we thought it was.
Some of us do. In other words, I think the world is made up of people who see at many different levels. And people will gravitate to the kind of therapists or the kind of doctors or the kind of anything practitioners who go along with their own philosophies. You really have to find the right person to work with for you. You know? In other words, you, Alan, could never go to a conventional psychotherapist, I don't think. Your mind is far too open. And you would feel very stifled. But someone who thinks that way would have, well, I could cover up, I guess.
You could become more normal.
I could cover up if I had to. But what I'm saying is that someone who's more closed-minded in their thinking probably wouldn't get the same thing from me that someone who's more open would get.
Well, let me just ask you another question. Do you see a theme? Because, of course, patients are getting something from you, but don't you also feel you get something from the people you see? And are there themes as well in your history that you've noticed?
Yes, and I have always felt that if they knew how much I was getting, they would charge me a fee.
But what do you mean by that? What kind of stuff do you get from the people you see?
It's a very personal exploration in someone's life and their thinking and how it fits into the world. And so to do that, there are pieces of myself I share. And there's learning that goes on as we explore together. There's always learning. It's a very... I have great respect for what I do. People allow me into a part of their life that they don't allow anyone else into. And I think it's a very sacred thing to do. I really love what I do. It's a very deep connection with the other person to help them really look at what they need to look at. And sometimes it goes many, many layers deep.
Well, the way you're talking about it makes it like a very sacred practice.
From my point of view, it is. That's how I feel about it. I mean, the work to me is very special. Now, that doesn't mean that every session is big and heavy and enormous. Sometimes the sessions are relatively light. But the overall picture of the work that I do with someone takes them from one place to another, you know, helps them first define what they want, take a look at where they want to go, where they are, what obstacles are between where they are and where they want to go, and then it's a journey we take together.
And it's not always like you know how to get there, because you're just feeling your way in that
sense. We're exploring together. That's what makes it so intimate. We're exploring together. I don't have the answers. I have ideas about where to look, but I don't have the answers because the answers are within that person.
But I like how you're talking about it as being a sacred journey. That's really beautiful. It's really...
Oh, that's absolutely how I feel about it, yeah.
And so these people, because I really enjoy, yes, I really get it. So these people are opening up their soul, in a sense, right? Their heart and their soul, and they're letting you into their deepest part, and they're trusting you. They're trusting you.
But you have to understand, people come to therapy because nobody comes because they just think it would be fun and what a nifty thing to do. People generally come to therapy because they're upset, something isn't working, they're in a rut, they're in deep trouble, there's something. Something is really not right. So when they come in, they want to be able to trust me.
You just are that kind of person, but is there anything you do or are I guess you're present with them, right? With that, what makes them trust you? I guess.
Well, I am present with them, and I say that most of the people who come for first session, we end up staying. But it has to be clear. The fit has to be right. Is that they have to feel comfortable. They have to feel that they're ready to tell their deepest, but that they could over time.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that if they interview other people, that if they meet someone who they feel they would never want to tell their secret to, that's probably not the right person.
But there is something about you, I mean, just knowing you briefly, that is trusting. I mean, that you care and that you, and I think you don't get that from a lot of therapists, that they actually do care. I mean, or maybe you do, but.
Well, my friends who are therapists, I get it. You know, I have some friends who are therapists who absolutely, there's a lot of care.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in good therapy, you have to care.
Right.
I would say, and then the question becomes that how come I can go home and not take it with me?
Yes, it is
a different kind of caring. Yeah, because it's a different kind of caring than in your personal life. So I can sit there, and I have to say that everyone I work with, there's something I love about each one of them. Mm. Yet, they're not in my personal life, so the decisions they make, the things they choose for themselves, that doesn't affect me in my personal life. And there's a boundary that I have to keep, and it allows me to go as deep as I can go with them and then be able to come home and not take it home.
And not take it home at all. But if if there's an emergency, they could call you at home. I mean, not that.
Oh, absolutely! Oh, absolutely! Absolutely! I don't understand therapists who will go so deep with someone and then they're not allowed to call. That doesn't make any sense to me.
So you,
if somebody is really going through a transition, they may need to talk at any given moment. You know.
So it's a very strange relationship in a sense that people have with their it's so intimate and yet so non-personal in a way. I mean, you would think, I don't know.
Well, it is personal, but it has boundaries. For instance, if I've been invited to a lot of weddings from the people I work with, and I never go. I don't go outside the room. That's the boundary for me. I don't go outside the room with them.
But occasionally you must meet someone like, oh, this could be a friend, or you don't ever go there either.
Yes, and I don't go there, but I have met people socially that I've worked with, or I taught some classes last year, and some people I worked with came to the classes. So there has been a little bit of an overlay in that, but the boundary by that point has been so clear that it's not a problem.
So getting back to the holistic psychotherapy,
that,
if you were going to teach that to somebody or teach that approach, what do you tell them to do to get beyond the traditional approach and open up to this holistic approach?
You know, I think it's really about bringing who you are into the work. So someone who's not spiritual would not want to be a holistic psychotherapist.
Right.
And it's about allowing yourself to bring some of your beliefs into the work so that what you're talking about with the people you're working with is not limited.
But, of course, the person you're working with also has to be open to those beliefs, right?
Absolutely. So there are people that I don't go there with. But I think as a therapist, you have to let the people you work with own their own therapy. I don't decide where the therapy goes. I guide the therapy to help the person get to what they need to get to. But if someone wants to come in and talk about their mother-in-law, that's what we talk about.
But of course, you might want to ask them why they are talking about their mother-in-law, what's underneath that, right?
Of course, it becomes an exploration. But my point is that I don't set the tone. If someone really wants to talk about something, I wouldn't stop them and say, oh, no, today we're talking about this.
Right. So you don't have an agenda for them.
I don't have an agenda. I work with what they put in front of me, but I let them put it in front of me.
And how do you deal?
Unless they're stuck, and then I help them find what they want to put in front of me.
So there's no like traditional approach. Like at the meeting we were at last week, the guy was talking about addiction. I mean, and his addiction approach to addiction. Now, is there any particular method you use or skill set?
Actually, I actually had training in eating disorders and have worked with drug addicts and I'm working now with an alcoholic. And my approach is that I see drugs and alcohol and eating problems as symptoms, not problems, and that you really have to go underneath to find out why the person uses these things.
Why is it usually that people turn to these things, you think?
Usually it's to obliterate pain, but why is the pain there? What's causing the pain in the particular individual? Usually it's to blur the reality. Even if it's like overeating, that person is distracting themselves while they're overeating. Even if it's cigarette smoking, all of these things are like a distraction. So
from
that
the pain, and you get to the pain.
Yeah, from the pain. Mm-hmm. And then you have to take a look at what's causing this person to be so unhappy that they need to distract that much.
Right, but usually what's causing their unhappiness is what they don't want to deal with or talk about, and it's hard, I would guess, for them to even talk about it with you.
Yeah, but if they come into therapy, they do want to get rid of it. They may not want to talk about it. They may not want to deal with it, but a person who comes to therapy doesn't want that pain. That's
so
the whole point of being made, get rid of it.
Help
for
them
me.
Look at the uncomfortable parts.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, when someone's been working in therapy for a while, they're not so scared to look at things after a while. They get to really see the benefits, and hopefully the way it works is that over time, bit by bit, their lives get better.
And when it gets better
to what they want it to be, closer to what they want it to be.
Well, I mean, it's very exciting work the way you describe it. So, I mean,
love what I do.
That you're just available, totally, in a way, surrendered yourself to what's there.
If I don't let them own it, and if I start having an agenda, then it's not about their lives and helping their lives be where they want it to be. And then I don't see where I'm helping anybody if I were to take that approach.
No, I think it's great. I think it's great what you're doing. So if you had to, like, you know, I mean, as we wrap up here, like, kind of just sum up, like, you know, what you would like to say about, you know, spirituality in general and what's the work in that area, what would you mean?
I kind of agree with what you're saying, that the world is expanding and our minds are expanding. And I think we are living in such a harder, more difficult world than the one we grew up in, that we need to take our minds to a different place if we're going to survive this. And
I mean, I also think it's an easier world in some ways, too, don't you think?
In what ways? Tell me, I need to
know.
Well,
the technology has made it easier. It made information easier. It's made...
Technology has made relationships harder, I think. And I think technology makes it harder on some levels. Like, for instance, I used to have a memory for all of my friends' phone numbers. Mm-hmm. I don't remember anybody's phone number anymore. I just press memory. And I did a whole paper years ago on screen parenting, because Marilyn Monroe, when she was brought up, she had a crazy mother who would leave her in the movie theater all day while she went to work. And that's how Marilyn Monroe learned how to become a woman, by watching these movies over and over and learning gestures from the women on the screen.
But she did it. She did a great job. She became a great woman. I mean,
she did a great job, but on the inside she was quite depressed. So I think today kids are being screen parented like she was screen parented.
Oh, I see.
I think people are learning to socialize from video games and computers and Xboxes and everything else. And I think it's become a harder world, and that it's very important for us to be spiritual and in touch with our inner self.
I think so, too. But I also think... I don't know.
I think the best antidote to fear and sadness is going inward.
Yes,
and really listening.
But we need help. And I mean, I think the world's easier because it somehow has put us more in touch. Yes, people can get addicted to their technologies. That movie Her, which is a great movie where a guy falls in love with his computer, is just amazing. But I think in another way, it makes it easier to reach out to people in this technological. I mean, you go to Facebook, you connect with people around the world. I don't know. I think somehow technology is making our lives easier, or at least that's what it's supposed to do, and I think it is doing that in some ways.
Easier and harder. It's all in how you use it. But then again, you and I were not brought up at a time where we had so much of that around us, so we learned to communicate with people without texting, without all this technology. I think it's harder to come into a world where all that technology is already there.
Kids pick it up like, you know, at 2 years old. They just get it. It's amazing.
I know. So, you know, maybe I'm just talking from my standpoint of my generation and, you know.
Well, I don't know.
But that's how appears
probably,
to me. It looks to me like it's confusing. Looks confusing to me.
I don't know. I think we're in a big shift now, and I think where we're going, it's all changing. So I mean, everything's uncertain and in a way confusing, because there's nothing is what it used to be. It's all different,
and that's where I think becoming spiritual and being in this life in a different way, in a deeper, different way, makes it a lot easier to deal with what's going on around us.
That's true.
The deeper
like
you can
that.
Connect to other people and the deeper you can connect to this life, it does make all that stuff around us a whole lot less important, and there's such better meaning in the way we live when that's where we focus.
Well, thank you. I totally agree. Thank you, Marcia. If people want to get in touch with you, do you want to leave a number or a website?
Sure. My office, I can leave you my office number. Would you like that? And
yes.
I have a website that's in process of being reworked. So.
Well, anyway, give us the website and the office number. So.
Okay. My pleasure. You want me to say it now? Or?
Sure. No, say it now so people listening can, you know, have that.
Okay.
Yeah.
My office is 212-666-2715, and it's Marcia Blau, MarciaBlau, .com.
And your office is located in Manhattan, right?
And I'm on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Is it where your office is, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. It was a very
pleasure.
Nice conversation.
Pleasure talking to you.
And I'll let you know when this is posted, and we'll link to that, and we'll have this on the ASP website, and it'll be great to promote
great.
Our members.
Great. Thank you, Alan.
Okay, Marcia, I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay. Take care.
Yes. Have a nice night.
Bye. You too.
Okay. That was Marcia Blau, who is a member of the Association for Spirituality and Psychotherapy. And next up, we have the current president of the organization, who I thought it would be great to interview her in this first round of interviews about ASP. So, is Mary around? Mary Marino? Doug? Okay, let's see. Okay, Doug is going to get Mary on the line, and Mary's been the president and still is the president of the Association for Spirituality and Psychotherapy. And we have monthly meetings. We have a newsletter. You can look at the website, asphealing.org. That means the Association for Spirituality and Psychotherapy. Healing.org, because it is a healing approach to psychotherapy. And okay, so I think we have Mary on the line. Mary, are
yes.
you there?
I am, Alan.
Hi. Did you hear that first part of the program or no?
No, I did not.
Oh, well, anyway, let's just start in here, and I'll just introduce you. I'm talking to Mary Marino, who is the president of the Association for Spirituality and Psychotherapy. And Mary, thanks for being here. And why are you so excited about this organization?
Well, I feel that we're really at a turning point in our development. We've been around for about 15 years. When it first started, it was a fairly new idea to integrate spirituality into the context of psychotherapy and psychology. So at that time, it was a very innovative thing to begin to consider that one could integrate spiritual practice, spiritual principles, and it would help in the healing process. But now, 15 years later, those aren't such new ideas. There are so many other kinds of centers and institutes and organizations that are teaching and sharing ideas about how it's a kind of an everyday process to integrate meditation, mindfulness, all of these kind of spiritual approaches into a therapy practice. So now the organization has a different mission, or an expanded mission, as I see it, of being a place where like-minded others, other colleagues who have been integrating spirituality for quite some time into their practices, to share their ideas of how they do it. There are so many different ways of approaching healing. There are some yoga, chiropractic, acupuncture, and psychotherapy. And there are a lot of ways that what goes on in the consulting room is very similar across all these disciplines. So ASP is a place where people can come together and discuss the commonalities, discuss the differences. I see it as kind of a home base where people can find out what's going on in the field. Where are we now? What are people doing?
Yeah, I really appreciate your vision for the organization and where you see it going. And I think it is going in new directions. And I think it's great that you're president and so enthusiastic about it, because a lot more people are looking towards this, because for a long time there was two camps. There was psychotherapy, which just had to deal with the mind, and then there was spirituality. And in a way, many traditionalists still think they're two very separate things. And how do we?
Yes, I agree that even though there's a lot more, inclusion of these principles in these two disciplines, that there are still many traditional psychoanalytic institutes and psychological training programs that just do not want to discuss spirituality. They don't want to include it into their programs. They are resistant to the idea of including it. But I must say that I am seeing much more possibility. Like, for example, Harvard's clinical psychology program now includes classes on mindfulness and meditation practice. I know Columbia University is now offering classes in helping therapists understand what is, meditation, what is that kind of mindfulness practice. So it's beginning to cross over a bit, but it's not among the traditional programs. I wouldn't say that they're fully on board yet.
But how can we, of course, people have to find what spirituality is for themselves, but what's the kind of practical way we can show how the two are related? What do you think?
Well, I really think it comes from taking a step back and looking at it as kind of a major paradigm shift that's going on right now. So that kind of coming out of the old psychological traditions, there was a very kind of segmented view where you looked at the person as, well, we have the emotions, we have developmental history, we have you know, the physical body, they're, you know, they're, then we have the medical approaches. So it's all very kind of broken up into different parts. And I feel that there's this move to look at the whole human, the whole person. And I also think that that's part of what the spiritual approach is to come from a place of wholeness rather than from a place of separation. So that, in my mind, spirituality really is about looking at the world as if there's kind of, in a way, a unified field of connectedness, that, that we're all part of this larger life universe. I mean, one doesn't necessarily have to have a specific spiritual or religious orientation to begin to feel like, well, what would life look like if I assume I'm connected to everything else? I mean, and there's lots of research now, I mean, especially with stroke victims who have temporarily lost use of their left hemisphere, and when they just are operating out of the right hemisphere, they have this sense of oneness and unity and connectedness to all things. And people who have meditated and had a lot of different kinds of experiences have that sense of unity and the interconnectedness of all things. And so that when we start with those kinds of viewpoints to assume we are connected, there is a wholeness, that then we're approaching the healing process from a much different point of view. In fact, I would say a lot of the wounding and a lot of the issues and problems psychologically that happen for individuals is because of this view of being separate, of alienation, of not being connected to other people, to the rest of life, even to oneself.
So you're then, in a way, you're redefining, I mean, not just you, but where Ultra ASP, we're trying to redefine the human being, because if we just define them as a psychological emotion, us as a psychological emotional beings, then there is nothing to unify. There is no unity. I mean, we have to redefine ourselves, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And I would even say that it one can almost get a little political here and say that some of the problems we're having at, you know, nationally, politically, with our environment is because of this viewpoint that we're separate, you know, that what we do doesn't impact the world. What, you know, how we behave doesn't impact each other, and how what we do doesn't really impact, you know, the planet and the earth. So, you know, that we're having to make a shift there of, you know, the whole notion of having a carbon footprint and really kind of understanding the impact that we have, you know, just by being alive and living. And so it's really a kind of a holistic approach on all levels, not just psychologically speaking, but just in how we live in our lives in the world.
But you know, another key factor, and it becomes a personal thing, is that, I mean, I think you have, and you've told me some of it, but you know, it's that you've had experiences that cannot be explained in psychological terms. And I think that's key. We can talk about this greater unity. And if someone hasn't had the experience, they might not, they might think we're crazy. We're the crazy ones, right?
Well, I think that, you know, and of course, often I will find that, you know, when I'm meeting someone in my practice, you know, that they aren't necessarily going to say, well, you know, that they have an understanding of, what do you mean I'm connected to everything else? So I think that that on a practical level, it's simply starting with a notion of that the person themselves is a whole person, so that their head and their heart can be connected, that they can be connecting their feelings with their thinking values, and that they begin to start to look at themselves as a whole person rather than as a separate conglomeration of you know, different aspects of themselves. So that if you start with yourself, if they start with themselves, there's that sense of kind of like a beginning step to understanding what that unity might be.
Yeah, no, yes, exactly what I was going to say. You're planting a seed, so when or if they have an experience, they can reference it towards something that was suggested. But I think and it's happening more and more. People are having experiences outside the box. They're having a unity experience. They're having something that suggests they're more than their psychology or what's been called psychology.
Right, right, exactly. And so that there's this sense of a both and rather than either or type of orientation.
Right, and I think that's...
Mm-hmm.
No, what are we saying? And that's what?
Well, yes, that's also part of the paradigm shift. Rather than I'm right, you're wrong, or I'm separate and not connected. But there's a both and. Well, I have my inner experience, and I'm connected to this outside world. I have a head with my thoughts and thinking, and I have a heart and, feelings and compassion. So that they begin to start to draw things together.
Well, and I think that's why an organization like ASP is valuable, because it gives people an opportunity to reach out to therapists who also are thinking along these terms.
Yes, and I'm very excited to our new website is hopefully going to be kind of a place where people can explore what's out there and what's available to people. We'll have an opportunity for other professionals to be able to speak and share their views. There'll be a place where they can list their educational programs, and we hope to begin to have more conversation across disciplines. Because, I mean, I've shared some of my spiritual particular orientation, but as many different people as there are in part of the organization, they all have a slightly different view just exactly about what spirituality might mean for them. And so we get to have a conversation. You know, we get to dialogue about it. We get to learn from one another.
So the website will be called asphealing.org, right?
That's correct.
And so people will come there, and what's your vision? They'll come there and do what? Just have.
Well, I'm hoping that it will be a place where professionals can find out who else is doing what they might be doing in the field and who might be doing different things, but also that it's open to the general public. So let's say, for example, if someone's interested in learning more about meditation or learning more about what spirituality and psychotherapy is, or learning more about they want to enter therapy but they don't want a traditional therapeutic process, well, they could come to the website and they could kind of get a sample of the different kinds of things that might be offered in their particular city. I mean, my grand vision is that, you know, right now we're kind of centered in the Northeast, in the New York metropolitan area. But I'm hoping that this is something that could be national. I mean, I know that we have members from on the West Coast who advertise their programs. So that I'm hoping that you could, you know, end up going to a city and saying, hey, I'm new in town, what's going on here? And could go to the website and say, oh, look at all these things, these different programs that are happening, different classes I might take, or, you know, different therapeutic approaches.
Well, I think it's a very exciting time for spirituality in general. I think people are seeing the need for this, seeing, like you said before, the idea that we're connected to something bigger as a way to reassess the sort of crisis we're in as a planet.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I think that I think we'll have a much better chance of finding solutions if we start with the assumption that we're already connected, that we already have a common ground. So then when we begin to try to establish that common ground, you're much more likely to find it if you assume that it's there.
So would you call spirituality basically the awareness that we are connected to this common ground?
Yes, I think that's a very good way of putting it.
Well, how do you define it?
Well, that there's something greater that there's to be connected to, that we're part of something larger, and that in centering ourselves with that awareness, there's a sense of inner peace, there's a sense of belonging, there's a sense of love and compassion that begins to radiate in the way you relate to life and relate to others. So that you're bringing, you know, I think it generates a feeling of wanting to be centered in a place of compassion. That one is, when one brings oneself fully present to the moment, there's a sense of peace that comes with it, instead of being worried about the past or worried about anticipating the future. When you're just fully present in the moment, connected to yourself, connected to what is, something else begins to happen. There's an expansion and a peace that comes in.
I mean, what's interesting also is that that more and more people are feeling this, and it's as if we're being assisted by a great planetary evolution along these lines.
Well, I do think it's something that's happening on a very large scale. It's happening both within us as individuals, and I think it's also happening, you know, it's kind of a wave that you can see that it's happening worldwide. It's not a localized phenomenon.
Well, that's why that's why an organization like ASP is more valuable than ever.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I think this whole theme of wholeness and is kind of what's happening, and I think it's what we're really striving for, you know, to put into action, just from the way that we're communicating with one another and what we hope to share.
Well, it's very exciting that the possibility of who we are is expanding. And I think each person who comes to the organization brings an awareness that we're more, and it kind of adds to a collective awakening that has deep implications in changing the whole structure of society. I mean, it's deep. It goes very deep, this awareness.
Well, yes, and I think it also is a way for all of us to feel a sense of community and a sense of supporting one another, so that as we each address trying to heal some of the problems that are happening, not only for people that we're working with, but kind of at the larger level, on the societal level, you know, that we can be encouraged, you know, that there's many who are involved in trying to create solutions so that everyone can benefit.
So just talk a little bit about how people, individuals would join, with therapists can join, also non-therapist organizations. Talk about that, about how we can all join into ASP.
If one goes to the website, there's actually a place where one can click to pull up a registration form, and that will record all of their information, and I believe it's all hooked up with PayPal, so one can pay one's dues, and then at that point, you have a selection of, you can become a regular member, which will allow you access to all the activities and workshops with a 10% discount. You can also become a professional member by paying slightly more, and this allows you to list all of your educational programs on the website, and in addition to have an audio interview where you get to share, just like I'm sharing tonight, what your views on spirituality are and how you integrate this into your practice, so that, you know, people can come to the website and click on your picture and find out about you and what you're doing.
No, it's very, very exciting that under your direction, we are building a worldwide network. And
well, ultimately, that's what I would hope this would be able to be. I mean, not that we would be kind of like the only one doing it, but that we would kind of be a model for how to create an integrative network of professionals across disciplines. And that's the really exciting part for me, is seeing that grow and expand.
Yeah, no, it's yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate all that you're saying and all that you're doing. Any final words you would like to leave? Maybe a little also a bit about how you work. Do you mind sharing about your personal?
Oh, not at all. I mean, I'm a licensed psychologist. My training was in a very traditional behavioral cognitive approaches, and it's evolved over the years. I had a very active meditation practice for many years, and have had many of those kinds of experiences that you were alluding to earlier in your remarks, enough so that I've had that sense of there is something more, there is something greater that we're all connected to. So that kind of informs how I work with people. So I really try to listen very carefully to hear what might be speaking through that individual that their soul is yearning for, that they're really seeking to expand into, so that not only are we dealing with whatever problems the person might bring to the consulting room, but we're looking for where are they growing to, what's pulling them, what are they aspiring to, what sense of higher values might be calling to them that might be showing up in their dreams, might be showing up in consciously in what they're thinking about, and then the other area of work that I explore is energy psychology, which is a practice of using the meridian system of energy in the body with using acupressure techniques
is this called tapping?
EFT, TFT, yeah, thought field therapy, emotional freedom technique, are a couple of the methods, a technique developed by Tapas Fleming. These are all different practices of or techniques in energy psychology. And the research shows that these techniques are very effective for releasing old trauma. They're very effective for releasing phobias. Results have shown tremendous change in brainwave patterns of releasing anxiety and also releasing the stressor hormones out of the body, so that it's really quite exciting because there's regular talk therapy hasn't been very effective for things like phobias and traumas of that nature. I mean, I've had patients who've had allergies for years that have been able to use these techniques, and they don't have allergies anymore. I mean, it's quite amazing.
You see that? How do you explain how that works?
Well, it's to use the meridian system in the body in the flow of energy. I mean, the whole idea is that trauma will cause blocked energy. And then the body responds by creating disease like allergies or illness or other kinds of physical symptoms. And these acupressure techniques actually change the neurological patterning in the brain. And they've done the brainwave studies to actually show the shift in brainwave patterns that have happened neurologically as a result of using the techniques, which is very exciting. And that then when the energy begins to flow, the body is no longer responding in a disease pattern. So then there's no longer the activation of whatever the illness or the allergy or the things it might have been. So it would take a neuroscientist to really explain it to you in much more precise detail, but the research is being done. There are neuroscientists that are explaining it. So that's what's exciting. You know,
it's also exciting. No, because we're energy beings. If we're not just physical, emotional beings, we're also energy beings, which fits into the whole idea of being spiritual, you know, spiritually
yes,
being.
Yes. Right. Well, if you start with the idea that we're really all energy and that's the physical body is the result of those, it's like an outward expression of the energy patterns that we are, then it makes a lot more sense that we could use the physical body to actually change some of those disrupted energy patterns. And then that creates more health in the physical body.
So you're doing this kind of energy psychology. You're doing regular talk therapy as well. And you're taking any approach, really, that you see the person might need to help shift.
I guess I would call it that it's like a synergistic method. That rather than just calling it eclectic, it's really trying to use the best that each of these different therapeutical disciplines have to offer to find a pathway in to help that particular individual conceptualize and work with finding what's the best pathway for health for them. Some people are very intellectually oriented and respond very well to kind of a cognitive behavioral understanding. Other people are very kind of introspective and reflective, and they respond well to kind of understanding more of kind of like a traditional psychoanalytic psychodynamic approach of understanding their histories and how their character was formed out of their childhood, so that being able to be sensitive to where the person is and what is kind of their model for how they conceptualize themselves, you know, to find that good fit so that you are working with them in a language that they understand, in addition to using, you know, the trauma release and the energy psychology methods, if it's appropriate, if that's something that they're looking for.
So that's another key thing to be excited about at ASP, is that the possibilities and the ways of helping people with in this sort of association, this organization, are extended many, many times to new unfolding techniques.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and I anticipate that we'll learn from one another. Our understandings are going to evolve and grow and develop.
Right, and there's more things that have yet to be created that we will learn and actually accelerate. I just heard of someone who does this high brain activation thing that gets people totally out of their stress. And
yes, some of the new neurological work is very, very exciting. I know that I have a colleague who's been working with theta brainwave stimulation and finding that in those states of deep, deep relaxation, that by listening to music patterns, it can actually stimulate the brain into a theta wave state. And then the energy psychology techniques actually help the person release much more quickly. So it's very exciting to be using these things in combination.
It's incredible that we have a whole new toolbox that wasn't allowed to even exist in an old traditional psychotherapeutic approach.
Right. I remember back 20 years ago when it was a big deal with the biofeedback machines, where people could find out, oh, gee, I can regulate my heartbeat. I can lower my blood pressure by getting biofeedback, you know, that lets me know, you know, where my blood pressure is. You know, that was a big deal 20 years ago. And now it's like that's just the tip of the iceberg, you know, that one can actually be monitoring one's brain waves and begin to shift one's mental state into deeper states of relaxation and receptivity, you know, brainwave states that are optimal for learning. I mean, I can just imagine what it would be like to be studying when one actually has control over optimizing your brainwave pattern for memory retention. I mean, that's you know, that was just one thing I was reading in one neurological study the other day. But, you know, so it's a very exciting time.
It's incredible what's coming down, what people are open to, and organizations like this and the work you're doing also privately are opening people to more possibilities and more possibilities for healing. So
yes, that's right.
Well, thank you, Mary, for giving such a beautiful overview of your work and this organization, and and leading, being a leader in having a new vision for what's possible for people as well.
Well, thank you so much, Alan, for giving me the opportunity to kind of share this with you. And I certainly hope that people find their way to our organization and we'll just see it grow.
So the organization, asphealing.org, and then your private way to get in touch with you, to work with you, is what?
Well, certainly they could. My email address would probably be one way that people could get in touch with me, if you would like to have that.
Yeah, you can give that out, sure.
Yeah, it's MMARINO. That's basically Mary Marino. 1133, which is my street address, at gmail.com.
Okay, MMARINO1133 at gmail.com.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Mary. I'll be in touch with you. I'll talk to you. I'll have this posted at some point, and let's talk this week, okay?
Okay, that sounds terrific. Thank you so much, Alan.
Yeah, next week I'm going to have more members of the ASP on to talk about this emerging field that is really at the forefront of change.
Great.
Who we are as human beings, and awareness and transformation of society in general. So thank you, Mary.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon. This is Alan Steinfeld. This has been the kickoff series for the investigation into this association that I'm actually a part of, called the Association for Spirituality Psychotherapy, and an emerging new field that is combining the best of both. So without the dogmas of spirituality and or the trappings of a psychotherapeutic model, we can take both of the best aspects of these approaches of who we are as infinite beings, and the understanding of our minds as emotional feeling people, and use this in a therapeutic way, understanding a therapeutic way to understand more of ourselves and make us happier. So over the next couple of weeks, I will be talking to people about this approach from many, many angles. So thanks for listening tonight. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. And if you want to reach me, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Or check my website. Thank you. Thank you for listening.